Well, with us now is Graham Tuckett. We're going to be talking movies. Kia ora, Graham.
Horace, how are you, my friend? Oh, sorry, I just had you on speakerphone, but you're back.
Pleasure.
Hello.
How are you? You there?
Hey, the Australian MasterChef had a couple of vegans on here or so.
Did it now?
And it went really well. One of them went on to open up his own vegan smokehouse restaurant from
there. No way. Are you a MasterChef fan?
I was a big fan of the Australian one during lockdown, first edition 2020.
Very good. Hey, now, I'm very, very excited to hear what you have to say about Top Gun, because, look, you know, this is part of my upbringing. A danger zone, in the danger zone, Graham, talk to us about the new Top Gun.
Who does a sequel 36 years later? I was really, firstly, I had to go all the way back to the Google and the Wikipedia. Because I thought, was there ever, maybe there was a Top Gun 2, and it's like Ghostbusters 2, we've all just forgotten about it. But no, there wasn't, there was never a sequel. The original film was 1986, and to be fair, Top Gun Maverick was ready to come out late 2019. And then they pushed it back, decided on an early 2020 release, and we all know what happened then. So it's here we are, 2.5 years later, just in time for the American 2022 mid-summer blockbuster season. Look, it scrubs up really well. I think, well, it has 36 years to come up with a decent plot. And what they've effectively done is said, well, the first one was pretty good. Let's do that again. So instead of this hotshot maverick, literally young flying ace, you know, working and butting heads and rubbing people up the wrong way, but eventually winning them over because he's such a great pilot, which is what happened in 1986. You've got this kind of hotshot maverick now pushing 60 years old, still butting heads. It's invited to go back to the school where it all started in 1986, but this time he's going to go back in as a kind of specialist instructor. And the hilarious thing about it is basically it's the same film, except Tom Cruise is 36 years older.
Yep.
So he's 24 and he made the first one. He's now, I think he'll turn 60 this year. So he was 58, 57 when he made this. They even have the chutzpah to recreate the not homoerotic at all volleyball on the beach in the sunset scene.
That's still there?
All the young men take their shirts off and run around. Tom's right in there with them.
Are they? Is he? Yeah.
Look, mate, if we're looking like that at 57, we can pat ourselves on the back.
Yeah.
In a brotherly fashion. It's he's in very, very good shape.
I'm looking at some of the stars here, Graham. You've got the likes of, Ed Harris and Val Kilmer, Jennifer Connelly there. You've got Miles Teller. Quite the cast.
I love, firstly, they're bringing Miles Teller, who should be familiar to everybody by now. There's a terrific series, a limited, like a 10-part series that's opened up on TVNZ On Demand. I think we're up to about the seventh episode, would have dropped last night, called The Offer, which is about the making of The Godfather. And it's a fictionalized series, but obviously based very closely on the actual story and, you know, the comings and goings and the drama that led up to the actual shooting and the release of the film The Godfather really have yielded a couple of great documentaries already. So now they've done an actual drama series. And Miles Teller is the lead of that, playing the producer of the film. Not Robert Evans, but the guy, Al, whatever his name was, who was the sort of very hands-on, day-to-day producer of The Godfather. And fantastic. And Miles Teller is the star of that. So I was very happy to see him turn up in Top Gun Maverick. He plays the son of what was Tom Cruise's co-pilot back in the first film, the one who tragically lost his life. So Miles Teller plays his adult son of call sign Goose. He goes under call sign Rooster. And the film has to unfold in such a way as the son has to step very much into the role of the father, and there's going to be an opportunity for the senior Tom Cruise to finally get redemption 36 years after the tragic accident. And, you know, of course that's going to happen. Val Kilmer turns up again as Cruise's old sort of headbutt nemesis slash best friend who went in the first film. He was the Iceman. He's finishing off his career as a senior Navy admiral who brings Cruise back into the fold and, you know, sort of watches his back a few times. But it's all, which has a real poignancy sort of smack in the middle of the film. There's a couple of very poignant, quite moving scenes when they literally bring Val Kilmer out in a wheelchair for his scenes because he's a very, very ill man. He's endured a long battle with throat cancer.
Is that right?
Which I think it was in remission. He was on top of it, but this is the way of these things. It may well have come back. So when Val Kilmer turns up very much in a sort of swan song cameo for the film, it had some real poignancy to it. So the film becomes quite genuinely moving and emotional at that point. I'm glad they did it. You know, they didn't have to write the character back in, but they did, and they've done it with dignity, and they've done it with pathos, and I think it's well done.
Oh, fantastic, Graham. I can't wait to see it. And then just finally, the music, Danger Zone by Kenny Loggins, probably not in there, but the music sits alongside there.
They do. They've got some of the original music, including Danger Zone and including Take My Breath Away. They quietly bring it in, sort of like it's on the radio in a diner. Like it's there for you to hear it if you want to hear it.
I'm very
not
cool.
Where the music drops.
Very cool.
Because everything you loved about the original film is either back in full force, or it gets a knowing and very, very affectionate and funny cameo in some way.
Gosh, Top Gun, eh? Goodness gracious.
Everybody's going to see it. If you're a fan of the original film, and almost everybody is, you're going to go and see it. You will not be disappointed. It's effectively a 21st century remake of the original. What could possibly go wrong?
Okay.
And Cruise is in good shape and more charming than ever.
Right. Now, the Bob's Burgers movie. Talk to us about this.
Are you a fan of Bob's Burgers, the show?
Never heard of it.
Oh, Wallace, you should have your finger on the cultural pulse. Look, Bob's Burgers, as far as I'm concerned, is as good a show as The Simpsons, or it hasn't had the longevity of The Simpsons yet.
Wow.
I think of those sort of like American animated family sitcoms, like The Simpsons, King of the Hill, South Park, Bob's Burgers is my absolute flat-out favorite. It's set among a sort of hardscrabble working-class family, mum, dad, two daughters, one son, all sort of between late primary school and early teenage years, running a suburban diner / burger bar called Bob's Burgers. And it's just little 20-minute episodes. I think there's about 10 or 12 seasons of it now. It's just a gem. It's really funny, really sly, really witty, adult without ever being smutty, you know, like genuinely grown-up mature humor without being what we call adult humor. Like, it never, you know, never swears. It talks quite honestly about human relationships, but in a very, very funny way. It's just like, if it was done live action and not animated, I think it would be an absolute sensation. It would be a Seinfeld-style smash.
Oh, wow.
Because it's animated, a lot of people dismiss it as being kid stuff, but it's one of the smartest written shows I've seen in a long time.
Gosh, is that so right?
So Bob's Burgers movie, go to YouTube and just have a look for some sort of greatest hits moments. And if you get a flavor for it, you'll like it very, very much. As a movie, I'm not going to call it a disappointment because I still enjoyed it immensely when I saw it last night. But it was, I loved with the Simpsons movie. They resisted making a Simpsons movie for decades until they were convinced that they actually had a story that could get them through the 90 or 100 minutes of a feature film. And I think with Bob's Burgers, they've maybe felt a little bit rushed to do it, and they haven't quite cracked the code of getting a 25-minute show to work over the course of a 90-minute feature episode. So it kind of tails off a little bit towards the end, and the sort of the last kind of, maybe the second or the third of the film, I thought, this is feeling a little bit padded. It's lost. It hasn't got quite the crazy manic momentum of a good episode of a TV show. But for all that, it's still lovely to see these characters allowed to stretch out. The characters are definitely allowed to sort of deepen in a way that the sitcom format doesn't always allow. And if you're a fan of Bob's Burgers, the TV show, and I hope I've created a few more fans of the show today, then the movie would actually be a pretty good entry point. But I'm going to say your average episode of Bob's Burgers in 20-odd minutes has got just as many belly laughs as the whole 90-minute feature film has got.
Gosh. All right, so that's Bob's Burgers, the film, the 2022 animated musical comedy film, and touching also, Graham, on the French Film Festival.
Just a wee shout-out. The French Film Festival rolls out in Tamaki Makaurau, Auckland, as of the 1st of June, which is, Wednesday next week, is it? Yeah. Someday like that. and starts all across the rest of the Motu throughout the month of June. I think down here in Wellington, it kicks off, I think, on the 7th or the 9th of June. The French Film Festival is a lineup of some, I'm going to say, 40-odd films. There's quite a few. I was looking through the program last night. There's a film called Another World, which is an especially good... I'm just going to bring it up on the screen here. It's a drama with Vincent Landon, and it is just an absolute cracker. I got a chance to see it quite a while back. Of course my laptop's going to decide not to open. I'm just going to have to win this. Look, I will say, especially of the French Film Festival, of the couple I've had lucky enough to have a preview of already, Another World is absolutely terrific. And there's a film called A Mermaid in Paris, which I think is going to be the absolute definition of like a great family comedy, a great family sort of comedy for everybody. It's one of those kind of see it now before there's an American remake type of movies. I just particularly like the French Film Festival. And obviously, you know, France is an absolute cinema powerhouse. It's where cinema began. They still make a more diverse and high quality range of films than almost anybody in the world. Although, the way that, say, the Korean industry and the Danish industry have come up in the last couple of decades.
Absolutely, Graham.
It's beautiful to see. But the French Film Festival, for any cinephiles out there, if you've listened to me for this long, you must count yourself one of them. Pick up a program and go and have a look. There's some really good stuff there.
Good on you, Graham. Kia ora. Thanks for your time. That is Graham Tuckett there reviewing Top Gun. Maverick, which is the remake 36 years later of the earlier Top Gun, and... he gave it a very good review, so well worth seeing, I guess. And Bob's Burgers movie, have you seen it? Graham's raving about it. And, of course, the French Film Festival, all of June, Aotearoa, starts in Auckland next week.